This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge. I must resist the temptation to play the coffee song. Okay, I resisted. Hey, welcome in, everyone, to the virtual house party that is Swift Kick in the Afternoon. Joe, again this week, welcome in, brother. We missed you last week. We missed everyone last week. We weren't here last week. Oh, boy. But we're back this week, and that's what matters. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, trying to warm up a little bit from a little cold snap weather that we had come in on us, and dealing with Kansas life. Sunshine, though. Hey, that's a good thing.
Hey, yeah, at least you've got the sunshine there. You said you were close to 80 degrees the other day, and you're about half that now. Man, what a switch that is. But this time of the year, you know, it's kind of to be expected, you know.
One of those things, you gotta roll with it. You know, sometimes Mother Nature decides she's gonna throw in a wrench in your spring plans or whatever. But hey, you know, that's.
And before all you pious people start emailing us, yes, Joe did say Mother Nature. No, Joe's not a spiritual person like that. It's a figure of speech, people. Get over it. I say it too. Mother Nature.
You notice I didn't
speech.
Say anything about
we
the chemtrails or the harp or anything like that.
We don't bow down to Mother Gaia or whatever her name is. We don't. It's not Mother Earth. You know, people get bent out of shape though, Joe. You know, when they think that you should. Either call something what they call it or refer to something the way they refer to it or in the case of Christianity, you know, or any faith. I don't want us to single out Christianity, but I say that because I'm a Christian, so it's easier for me to just, you know, to talk about Christian faith because I know. But in all religions, it's like that. If you don't worship, if you don't practice your faith the same way as another person, they get upset about it, Joe. They're, oh, you're doing it wrong and this and that, you know. I mean, we have become a society of obstinate, divisive people.
Yeah.
No, we haven't. Yes, we have. No, we haven't. Sorry. I'm having an argument with myself now. That's how divisive we've become. No, but it's true. I mean, it's true, Joe. People have really, sorry, I mean to cut you off. People really do, you know, treat you differently if you don't fit into their defined box that they think that you should fit into. Go ahead, bro.
Well, exactly. I was going to say that, you know, politically correct BS is, you know, killing the morals of humanity. You know, it's just another way of, you know, society speedy, rapid fall is all I got to say.
Yeah, it's an absolute rapid decline. And it's not even fun, Joe. You know, it's not, you know, it's not supposed to be. Let's get that out of the way now. It's not supposed to be fun, but it's not depicted. It's not at all going as it was depicted in, you know, movies and television shows. And of course that's Hollywood fakery, but you know, you can't even say that anymore, Joe. That's how sensitive people are. You can't even say that a lot of the stuff they see on TV is fake, because they get offended. Or you tell them that, you know, one of their favorite singers isn't really that good of a singer and really wouldn't be that popular if it weren't for slick production values and a promotion team. I mean, they really like you slap one of their kids. That's how they act. People get so caught up in this self-importance, you know, that a lot of folks have, especially with you know, society the way it is now. But it's just outrageous. You know, it's funny, we started talking about the darn weather, and I don't know how we got off on this track. Oh, we started off talking about the weather, and it got all the way down to me ripping on singers.
Oh, that's okay. Because I'm going to rip on college students here in a second.
Oh.
Today at one of the fine institutes of higher learning, actually this week at an institute of higher learning, found out that about 40 students were deathly afraid and offended by, get this, people, a chalk drawing of Trump 2016. Now, I'm not endorsing Trump, but what I am endorsing, that everybody with chalk run to your local college and write as many times on the sidewalk, on walls, with chalk, no vandalism intended here, people, Trump 2016, so we can weed these stupid weaklings out of society.
Joe,
if you're offended,
Joe,
I'm sorry. This is America. Get off.
Joe, I saw that just before we went to air. I was a few minutes late calling you before the show. And I was going through some headlines, looking over some news stories, and I had run across that story that you're talking about right now. Do you know that that particular college has a grief counselor on duty because of that, because of the Trump 2016 fiasco, BS, you know, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, there's a grief counselor available to these kids who have suffered so much grief because they had to endure the pain and the suffering of somebody else's free speech. How dare they? You know, Joe, that's what happens. This is what happens in society when you start giving out participation trophies, you know, just for showing up for a soccer game or a ball game. When you stop, when you coddle from cradle onward, this is what happens. When people don't get their way, they get easily offended, and then what do? They cry to the nanny state to do something about it. And this is where we at.
Oh, yeah.
This, you know, we had this coming, and there have been people for years saying that this type of crap was coming, and here we are again. We got what we deserve, Joe. I hate to say it. I hate to sound so cold. But we got what we deserve.
Oh, yeah, and it's the slow process and erosion of morals, of values. It started off the communist plot to, you know, break down the family. To get God out of schools and out of our state and federal offices, it's that snowball at the top of the hill. One push and it's going down, and it's going to get bigger by the every foot it goes downhill. It's going to increase in size and speed.
Joe, I agree with you, but I just want to change one thing about that. It's not a snowball at the top of a snow mountain. Brace yourself, people. It's not snow. It's feces. And it's going down here. It's going downhill quickly. Just like a snowball. Sorry if that offends you. But I am in a pretty salty mood today, Joe. I really am. I am really, really just so burnt out on this running of the clowns, as you like to call it, this election process. And it's not that I even follow it much, Joe, but and I don't really watch a lot of TV, but when I do want to sit down and watch the local news, or when I want to sit down and watch a program once or twice a week or a sporting event, I'm bombarded with these political ads. The news, the television commercials, even, and I'm not a fan of Saturday Night Live, but even if I wanted to watch, say, I don't know, a sketch comedy show like that, it all politically slanted. I'm getting sick and tired of it, Joe. The running of the ass clowns can go on without me. I'm checking out, bro. I don't care who wins this election. I don't care what group is offended or upset by it. And you know why? And Joe, you know why? Because it ain't going to change a thing. It ain't going to change a thing. Campaign promises are just that. You know, my grandma had a saying, promise one hand and defecate in the other and see which one fills up faster.
Yeah, exactly. And no, it's that's what you get with this instant gratification society. Everybody want it now, get it now. Just put it on my credit card where I have, you know, no money, but I want to buy this worthless crap that society tells me that, it's the latest and greatest. You know, it's just, but I mean,
go ahead, brother.
It's a sign of the times. No, which is what happens when you, you let your television set babysit your children instead of doing your parental duty and, you know, giving them a good education.
Right. But TV sets were so 1980s, Joe. The TV sets don't babysit the kids anymore. They make little pads for kids, computer tablets, for little three-year-olds to play on. You know, you don't even have to plunk them down in front of the TV anymore. You just give them this little electronic device in their lap, and supposedly they'll be pacified for hours. But the principle is the same thing. I was just pointing out that the TV probably isn't the big babysitter anymore, but it's the same principle. It's the same principle.
Well,
what your kids aren't learning from you, they're learning from somebody else, somewhere else. Think about that.
Well, no, the morals that you're supposed to instill upon your children are not being taught to them because you fell down and decided it wasn't your job and to pass the buck over to the school. But now, you know, Billy thinks that he's Sally, and, you know, all the little girls, you know, are scared of him now because he wants to use the girls' shower to go change in. And, hey, somebody should have kicked this kid's butt in his parents' butt, you know, like I'm thinking 10 years ago to start with. But, you know, I'm just a grumpy old man. That's okay.
The world needs more grumpy old men. You know why we're grumpy? Because we give a damn, people. That's why we're grumpy, because we actually do care. I'm tired of seeing this country go to hell in a handbasket as much as Joe is tired of seeing this country going to hell in a handbasket. We care. We're grumpy. Get over it. Get used to it. I kind of like it because we're really not grumpy. That's the funny thing. And people see that title and they're like, oh, two grumpy old men. I don't want to listen to that. And it's kind of a joke, an inside joke, you know.
It is.
We're really not grumpy older men, you know, but we just play them on the radio. Now, it's kind of an inside joke. You know, me and Joe were doing a show a while back, and I think Rusty was with us, or somehow the title or the subtitle of Grumpy Older Men came up, and we kind of stuck with it. Even though that show ended, because that was the Wednesday show there for a month or so, month and a half, whatever it was. But yeah, it's funny, you know, how people would just automatically, grumpy men. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about us, you know. People's opinions are so easily swayed by little sound bites or little headlines. Or little show titles. Their opinions are easily swayed, Joe. We live, like you said, in a fast food, instant gratification society where news gathering for the masses now is basically watch 5 minutes of CNN or Fox News Channel and then whatever blows through your social network feed on your favorite social networking site. That's how people get their news now, Joe. And you know why? I know why people are like that, but the terrible part about not being informed is we end up with the society that we have now, where we have a bunch of intelligent idiots.
Well, it goes with something that my father taught me years ago when he was trying to teach me Fortran and COBOL. Those are computer languages that are used basically and built the HTML system off of. Garbage in, garbage out. It works on the body and it works on the mind. If you're going to fill it full of crap, then you're going to have nothing but crap there. And that goes with food and especially education. When I was in school and graduated in 82, I was informed that a 1982 college graduate education was equal to an 8th grade 1960s education. Now,
Yes, we have been dumbed down by design, Joe, and we've been dumbed down
exactly.
by design. You know why? You know why we've been dumbed down by design? Because it used to be enough to get a high school education. What you learn now in college is what you should have learned in your 12th grade and 11th grade years in high school, to your point. And the reason why it's dumbed down is so people will have to go to college. You know, student loan debt is approaching, I believe, $13 trillion. I think it was the $1 trillion. $1 trillion was the student loan debt. You know, and it's a shame, Joe, that in this day and age we can mix up trillions the same way we used to mix up thousands. You know what I mean? The numbers get so astronomical. It's easy to say, $100 trillion. A trillion. You know, who would have thought? Joe, I mean, you know, me and you were not that far apart, especially now that I hear you graduated from high school in 1982. I was 89, so we're really not that far apart. But back then, just the sum of money of $1 million just seemed like such a huge amount of money. When it started getting into billions, it was like, wow, you know, and then trillions. I mean, what's next? Seriously. The numbers have become almost meaningless because they're unattainable as far as debt go, as far as our deficits go. Mathematically, the numbers don't mean anything because mathematically they can't be brought down. There's nothing that we can do to get out of debt other than not get into debt in the first place. And I'm speaking on a personal financial level, not on a countrywide level, nationwide level as a whole, because that ship has sailed the minute we stopped backing our currency with anything tangible.
Exactly. And, now the dollar is connected to the petrodollar, and, oil is the barrel that it goes in is worth more than the product that they're putting into it. Now, this is just a temporary situation, people, because very shortly, they're going to turn around and, oops, we got all these refineries that are down because, we didn't have, or we weren't seeing that you guys were going to be producing or using all that you were. So now we're at a shortfall and we got to raise prices of gas. And guess what? Now it's $5 a gallon instead of the $3 or $2 a gallon, which you're paying now. And hey, I'm comfy here in Kansas and I'm paying less than $2 a gallon of gas. And, but it can't last because the derivatives are attached to oil. It's fine when oil is trading at $100, $80 a barrel, but when it gets down to below that bust line where the producers are losing money pulling it out of the ground, start watching your pennies and prepping your pantry, people.
And prepping your pantry is becoming more and more expensive, Joe. More and more expensive. You know, the hidden tax on everything is called inflation. And one of these shows, Joe, we're going to have to dig into this whole idea of inflation, what the word means, why inflation is allegedly important. Why there's a push for inflation. And you and me as consumers, we're thinking, well, who would want to push for inflation? That just makes prices go up. Well, we're going to get into it on one of these shows. It's kind of surprising when you dig through all the muck and get down to the core issue of what drives inflationary monetary practices and who benefits from it. And it's kind of surprising. And it takes us back to the whole argument of who should be printing our money. But that's a much longer show for a much longer day. just even to scratch the surface, I feel bad for just kind of even scratching the surface just now about it, because there's so much that we can get into about it. But back to your point about stock in the pantry, things are going up in price, whether your government tells you it's going up in price or not. You don't need your government to tell you, to open your eyes for you and look, at the prices of things. Sure, gasoline is down now, that's great. But you know, Joe, what's different or what's unique about this drop in oil prices as compared to the last two or three dips was that the consumer, you and I, would take that money that we saved on gas and we would in turn spend it into the economy, you know. But that's not happening this time. People aren't spending more because gas is cheaper. So that tells me a couple of things.
They're trying to cover their ass on the other bills that they have because everything's gone through the roof.
Right.
And, you know, I do my own shopping. I try to go once a month and just grab what I need. And, you know, if it's something I forgot, I throw it on my list. Last month, I went without shopping. The only thing that I picked up, my major pickups were 350-pound bags of dog food. I knew I was going to need those. And milk. And other than that, everything else, I'm living off of my what I have set aside. Three bags of dog food just replenished the three bags of dog food that the kids ate that month. You know, it's all getting expensive, and I mean, I'm on a fixed income, and I'm just lucky that, you know, I'm not throwing money away on rent anymore or wasting my money trying to, you know, pay for cable television. And, you know, hey, it just, you know, live within your means and try getting rid of some of that useless crap that you've been dragging around. The big screen,
you know,
might look
me
nice now.
Yeah,
oh, go ahead.
The big screen. I was just going to say, I thought you had stopped for a minute there. We've got a bit of a delay in the airwaves today. I mean, it's understandable, Joe. You're in Kansas. I'm in Detroit. There's going to be a bit of delay. But getting to that, that new big screen TV or anything, what I find fascinating in the last 6-7 years is this push to get a brand new or the latest upgraded smartphone every year or every few months, 13, 14 months, whenever they put out a new one. I'm immune to that because I don't have a smartphone. I won't get a smartphone. See, to me, I'm old-fashioned, Joe, like you. A phone should make and receive phone calls. If it does that, then it's doing its job. Now, of course, I can text and surf the web online, but I don't have a smartphone. First of all, I'm a tech nerd, and I understand how truly unsecure these smartphones are, especially if you couple them with a Bluetooth device or Bluetooth connectivity. It becomes even less secure. That's one of the reasons why I got it. And another one was I just the sound quality wasn't there for me as far as using it for a phone. And this was, you know, I made this decision, you know, probably, you know, 10 years ago about not getting a smartphone. And, you know, my response was, hey, what do I need a smartphone for? You know, everybody, oh, you got to have one, you got to have one. Well, why do I have to have one? Because you have one, because somebody told you that you had to get one, or you saw a celebrity with one, or you got suckered into some slick marketing campaign that forced you to go out and spend $500 on a phone. So just because you did that, and that's the socially acceptable thing to do, then that means everybody's got to get one. This is just the herd mentality on that, Joe. But as far as the going and getting a new cell phone every time they upgrade it, I guess I'm being a little bit simplistic here because, like I said, I am a tech geek and I do understand the appeal of new technology. But what exactly has changed from previous versions to the next version of your smartphone? Not too darn much. But because that's the way society is, that's the way the keeping up with the Joneses, you know, the society we have. Your neighbor goes out and gets the newest, latest smartphone, and it's $800. Well, you got to go out and do the same thing because, well, you know, hey, you make more money than your neighbor. You can't let them live better than you, right? And it's ridiculous, Joe. It's this kind of keeping up with the Joneses, one-upsmanship, I'm better than you crap that's gotten everybody into debt.
I want to say the fallacies of Socrates, guilt by association or greatness by association, all these people endorsing their football team, and, you know, their team won the big game last night, so today they got to wear their jersey into work so that they feel like they're part of the crew, you know, and it's all this touchy-feely, get off my bus. Sorry.
It's all right. Oh, man. No, that's all right. Hey, you're speaking to a sports fan, and I understand how non-sports fans can feel that way, you know.
But it's not just sports. It's tools. It's toys. It's everything that, you know, all the crap that they put on television, from getting the latest, greatest lawnmower to your pharmaceutical needs. And, hey, don't bother listening to the side effects because it's just going to kill you eventually. So don't worry about it, people. Continue buying and shopping as normal.
Now, let me ask you, Joe, you brought up shopping, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But do you shop at Wally World when you do make your one, you know, your one big trip?
I do hit Wally World for dog food, and the only reason that I do that is because it's roughly about a third less of what the other stores are charging. And
yeah. No, I understand. Hey, I'm all for saving money, brother. You know that.
I grab batteries there and dog food, and that's about it. Cat food. My security staff, I got three shepherds, and they're not tiny. We don't have lunch dogs here. I can't wrestle and play with them like I used to because, hey, for some reason, these guys got fast. No, it's not as cheap as it used to be. A 50-pound bag of dog food today run you $24. But you go buy that bag someplace other than Wally World, cost me $34.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
No, I'm not one of these anti Wally World people. Because I know in very many outlying areas, rural areas, that's the only store around for miles, hundreds of miles, you know. So I don't have a problem with that, you know, with Wally World. Some of their business practices, I'm not a big fan of, you know, the way they treat their employees. I'm not such a big fan of, but the whole corporation as a powerful political entity is what disturbs me the most about corporatism.
Oh yeah, but the reason most people in rural communities are stuck shopping at Wally World is because when Wally World moved in, the 12 stores at their mega store
right
infringed on the into the buying community. Those places all closed up. Now you no longer have a bakery, a deli, a real hardware store,
right?
A real paint store, and then, hey, if they're not making money like hand over fist like they think they should be, they'll just close it down, and eventually that turns around, and, you know, it's devastating to the community around it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, business practices for big retailers like that is to go into an area, artificially deflate prices, drive competitors out of business, and then boom, prices go up. That's a business model that a lot of these large retailers follow.
Yeah.
And that's what I speak about when I don't like their business practices. But they're, they do, unfortunately, like you said, Joe, there's not too many places that can compete, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure if I started a slave labor camp and were offering cookies for 0.8 cents, and the guy down the street who's actually having to pay his laborers wants a nickel apiece, you know, I'll be making money because people are going to be coming to me because it's the low prices. God.
Right, right.
But, I mean, you have to realize it's all part of the game. It's all part of the financial failing system. Hillary Clinton was part of the Walmart board of directors, and one of the policies that she pushed was getting the greeters life insurance so that when they passed away, that Walmart would collect $1 million and the family doesn't get a dime of it. But it's okay for them to put insurance policies on their employees, you know. They wouldn't want to lose any money after you fired the guy. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, some of their business practices. And it's funny you mention Hillary, because she was one of the big proponents, one of the big backers of George Bush and Clinton's NAFTA plans.
Yeah.
And that whole NAFTA deal, if she was in fact on the board of directors for Walmart, which she very well could have been, that's the first I'm hearing, but it wouldn't surprise me. But regardless, NAFTA helped companies like that to outsource labor, to get cheaper made products into our country. You know what's happened, Joe, since NAFTA? I just saw today our gap, our trading gap deficit with China is the largest it's ever been. Wasn't that one of the problems why NAFTA was brought about, and then the normalization of trade relations with China after that? Thanks, Bill Clinton, for that. Isn't that one of the key reasons for open markets and free trade, was to reduce our trading deficit? But no, we're at the highest level ever with China. The whole idea of normalizing trade relations with China was to bring our trade deficit down, to have, you know, more equal trading between the nations. That hasn't happened, and there's no politician alive that can tell me that that's happening, because you look at all the jobs being lost to China, and now India, and even more jobs, you know, used to be jobs are moving to Mexico, not so much anymore, because, you know, all the good workers are coming here, let's be honest. They're moving even further south now. Brazil, Argentina, those places are starting to feel the effects of supposed free trade. Now, it might be okay for their culture to pay someone a couple bucks a day, and they pump out the cheap merchandise, but it really kind of takes its toll on society. You know, it really,
oh, yeah,
really does.
And all
from
those
the bottom,
anti-suicide nets and all those anti-suicide nets because their employees aren't committing suicide, you know, during their break time. I mean, what a better thing to do, you know. But, no, that just tells you the conditions of the environment that these people are working in. It's nothing but slave labor. It's China today. It was Taiwan years ago, and before that,
right,
it was Mexico. You know, just point to where somebody's economy is bad and somebody's trying to make a buck off of them. And don't say that's the American way. No, there's a good way and a right way of making a buck so that, you know, you're not doing like the Carrier Corporation air conditioners. We're closing this plant and moving it to Monterrey, Mexico, and we're hiring staff from down there, and, you know, none of you employees are needed anymore. Thank you. Have a good day. Talk to your
right, right, and that happens. That happens far too often, Joe. And you know, you can a lot of people. It's so easy to blame the greedy corporations for it. It is. It's so easy to blame. But there's too much blame to go around. There's shareholders that demand profit, and
exactly.
some of those shareholders that demand profit are municipal funds. You know, to funds that your 401k has paid into, things like that. Those are some of the shareholders they have to worry about. So I understand the whole reasoning behind it. Just because I understand it doesn't mean I have to like it, though. You know, I understand the whole reasoning behind trying to squeeze every last bit of profit. I don't have a problem with making a profit. That is the American way. Turning yourself from nothing into something is the American way. It's the American dream. But you don't do it at the expense of somebody else or by exploiting someone else for your personal gain. That's where I believe you and I have the biggest problem, is the exploitation.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not just one thing that you can point and say that's the problem. It's a multitude of things that are built on sketchy ground, and one good shaker and the whole Taj Mahal of hope falls into the ground.
Right.
And
right.
It's just, I mean, most people don't realize, you know, how fragile the economy and so forth is. It's not that preppers are pessimistic. It's just that we see and we appreciate, and we can see how fast this can fall apart. And,
yeah, we're not pessimistic at all, Joe. I think that's a slander against preppers as being pessimists. Not at all. Are you a pessimist because you have auto insurance? Are you a pessimist because you have health insurance? Well, now you're forced to have health insurance. I guess that's kind of a bad example, but the principle is the same.
Yes.
You have insurance, you have homeowner's insurance in case of a burglary or a fire. You have auto insurance in case of an accident or an injury or, God forbid, a death. You have life assurance in the form of a stocked up pantry, hard assets on hand, shelter, and a way to protect everything. That's life insurance.
Amen.
Which is no different, in my opinion, than having automobile insurance.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you what, in my lifetime, Joe, I've fallen back, and I'm sure you have too, I've fallen back on my preps more than I have ever on my auto insurance. But people have no problem making that monthly payment for their auto insurance without even thinking twice about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying to stop paying car insurance. No, because if you do, idiots, it makes my rates go up. So stop it. Pay for your damn insurance. But the point I'm trying to make is we do that along the same lines as prepping. Auto insurance is a type of prepping. Okay, it's a type of preparedness, and we do that without even thinking twice about it. But so many people are against even the notion of stocking up a pantry because you might look like they might look like a kook or a nut. To me, if you're going shopping every 2 or 3 days because you don't have anything in your pantry, you look like a nut to me. You know, go back to how your grandparents lived. You know, we've gotten so easy and accustomed rather to the easy conveniences of modern day life, Joe. Before, could you imagine now living now as we do without simple things like refrigeration? Can you imagine? I mean, that's when you had to go out to the store every day because you couldn't, store up meats and butter and eggs. You could, but there was a lot of work involved in it. you know, it just goes. I mean, you preserve meat, salt meat, you know, turn it into jerky, dry it. There's many ways to preserve it other than refrigeration. But in today's mentality, can you imagine how people would just be completely lost without something as simple as refrigeration?
Oh, yeah. And what are they going to do when it gets hot? Oh, can't live without my AC. Hello, people. People lived without air conditioning for thousands of years. It's just a modern invention.
But it is a nice invention, I got to admit.
Yes, it's not a necessity. I mean, it's nice to have. It makes you comfortable. But you can get by without it.
For the majority of the population, you're right. It's not a necessity. Now, there are people with health issues, you know, breathing problems that they should be in, you know, air conditioning. But your point is well taken. It's not a necessity, but it sure is nice. I absolutely love air conditioning. But, you know, it's funny. I don't use air conditioning when I drive. I would rather have the windows down. I don't care what the temperature is in the summer. I'd rather have the wind blowing in. But at home, I like the air conditioning. But it is a convenience. And the other conveniences, Joe, you know, electricity. The biggest convenience now that people would be absolutely bumping into walls without would be the internet. If people couldn't have their connectivity, if they couldn't get on social networks, boy, can you imagine the rash of suicides, Joe? And I'm only saying that half jokingly. Could you imagine how bad it would get if people couldn't get connected with people they don't know?
Oh, yeah. You're putting your faith in a system that is designed to fall. If you have faith in the government, you're worshiping a god, a false idol. If you have faith in the dollar, you're worshiping another false idol. I have faith in God, and I know that, you know, there are forces out there that, you know, don't want me to succeed. And, hey, I'm not going to worry about them because, you know, they're not part of my plan.
Amen.
I read the last chapter of the book, and it's pretty awesome because Jesus wins. We go home with the winning team.
Amen, brother.
It's frustrating for me because I say I'm an observer, and I am, but I'm an observer that sees the shortfalls of today's society that, you know, would have easily been corrected 3 decades ago, but nobody chose to pay attention to that paragraph, you know,
right.
And the instructions, you know. But it's just, it's like my father said, you know, instructions are there to keep you out of trouble. When you don't follow them, that's when you start breaking stuff.
Yeah, good point. That's a really good point.
And people, if you haven't started prepping, please do. Please start. Please start somewhere. 3 weeks is what I call bottom line. Start setting aside, you know, cans of soup, a bag of rice, some beans. Get the stuff that you normally get, because you're not going to be eating beets if you don't like beets. So,
thank you for that.
Accordingly.
Thank you for that, because I absolutely hate beets.
I know.
I hate
that's
beets.
Why I put it in there.
I know. I know. Thank you very much. my distaste was represented.
Hey, some people have a problem with spinach. I love the stuff. Used to have beets all the time as a child. Not my favorite vegetable, but hey, with a little sour cream, salt and pepper, and boom, it goes down just like anything else.
Yeah, you mentioned beets as a child. Now, I never ate them as a child, so I don't like them now. I tasted them one time, and I didn't like them, but I was a child. I imagine if I were to try them now, I might probably like them. You know, there's a good chance that... Yeah, there's a good chance because my tastes have changed. I eat a lot of things now that I wouldn't eat when I was younger, like vegetables and fruit, things like so.
Yeah.
I might if somebody has beets, I might try them if somebody's got them on the table. I might try them just to see if I dislike them, if my dislike for them is as strong as it ever was, it's as strong as I remember. We do, our tastes do change as we get older. And Joe, your point is absolutely correct. If you're going to stock up on something, that's great. More power to you and more power to your family for stocking up. But please don't buy something just because it's a good deal and you want to stock up on it. Like Joe said, what good is 48 cans of sauerkraut going to do when nobody in your house eats sauerkraut? Now you could say, that maybe for barter. Okay, cool. But you can't worry about barter before you have your stuff taken care of first.
Exactly. And get stuff that you and your family eat. 3 weeks as a minimum for a start. First aid kit. Some form of alternate communications, and I don't mean your cell phone. I'm talking about these GMSR radios are a good deal. Bufang makes 2 meter, 4 meter band radios that are awesome. It's like having a private telephone. And
Joe, I just want to mention this now while it's on my mind because you mentioned communications. I think it would be a great idea for everyone who is in a prepping mindset or a homesteading mindset is if you don't already know it, learn Morse code. Learn Morse code. It's a time-tested, tried and true means of communication. And especially nowadays, where not too many people outside of the military would even recognize Morse code signal. And, you don't even have to have a noise for Morse code. You can use mirrors, signal lights, flashlights to convey Morse code. So that's why I try to encourage folks to learn Morse code because that's an excellent way to communicate without even letting people know when you're communicating.
Exactly. And Morse code can be done with flags, with flashlights, with a laser. If you know where somebody is and they can see, you don't have direct line of sight, but you can both see an object, you can use a laser and Morse code to deliver a message right off of a billboard, side of a building,
Just don't shine them on passing airplanes. They get kind of upset about that.
Well, I don't think really in a shift situation that they're going to be really too worried about civilians pointing things at military aircraft. I think they're going to be more worried about the other aircraft pointing things at other aircraft.
Well, no. Yeah, I understand. But I'm talking about before it hits the fan, because you can't just... You should learn Morse code now, before it hits the fan. And there's a way to actually write out Morse code. Believe it or not, people, you can actually write it. So you can send Morse code notes with just dots and slashes. Dots and slashes.
Exactly.
People won't know what the hell it is, but you will. And who's ever on the receiving end that you're sending it to will know. So that's why I think Morse code, especially now, when we're so dependent on technology to communicate and to keep in touch, learning and practicing and using Morse code would be an excellent idea for everyone. And it doesn't take long. It's simple to learn.
Dot, dot, dosh. Dot, dot, Universal Distress Call, SOS, people. Learn it.
Yep.
Practice it. Embed it in that small memory of yours. We know the, you know, your attention span is not what it used to be, so, you know,
I'm sorry, did you say something?
Pardon?
Did you say something?
yeah, exactly. Jay, that's the first step of narcissism, ignoring me, uh-huh, yeah, right.
Oh boy, Joe, it's been fun. We're down to the last 5 minutes this week. Yeah, it absolutely flew by. It's just further proof that time flies when you are having fun. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We enjoyed it this week. You know, God willing, Joe, we'll be back next week. Last week, I was feeling way under the weather. And just could not do any shows. I couldn't even bring myself to do the sermon show a week ago Sunday. And by the way, no sermon show this Sunday, just so folks know.
Okay. Good. All right. Sounds like just segue to his soapbox speech. If you don't have a relationship with the good Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time. Check your email, get some private time, pray, read the best prepping book of all times. It's called the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It's a neat acronym. Use it.
That's a really nice acronym.
Prep for your household, take care of your pets, your neighbors and your old people and your family.
Amen, brother. Thanks again for a great show this week, and I really enjoyed it. And you know, we talked off air, Joe, about what we were going to get into today. And it's funny.
Nowhere near it.
Not even close. If our show ideas pre-show were a dartboard, Joe and I wouldn't have even been in the same building with this show. Just so you guys know, this is absolutely nothing what we wanted to talk about. But that's the fun of live radio, Joe. It really is. These shows aren't formatted. They're not professionally scripted. They are podcasts and live broadcasts for you folks catching us live. Thank you. But for the most part, they're podcasts. And, you know, they're not slick, polished productions. They can be. They can be. It takes a little bit more work, but it's easy to sit with an editing program and edit out the boring parts of a show and to add commercial breaks and whatnot to them. But I do like the effect of live radio because you never know what can happen. Joe and I had a game plan for today, and it got crumbled up before we even went on the air. I didn't crumble it up. Joe didn't crumble it up. It just wasn't the plan that ended up getting on the air today. So that's the fun of live radio, and I do enjoy it because you never know who's going to call. You never know what's going to come up. You never know what we're going to talk about. You know, so you got to tune in and catch us. Thanks, you folks, for listening live. You folks catching us on Spreaker, on SoundCloud, on Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, our website, thetruthradionetwork.com, www.thetruthradionetwork.com. Our schedule is up there, and we're going to try to keep that schedule going as much as possible with a small operation here. Thanks, everyone. Joe, I know you're still online, brother. We still got a minute and a half. If there's anything you want to add.
Keep an eye on the Middle East and, you know, what's happening over there. Kind of pay attention to the news, but don't be absorbed by it. And, you know, check their facts, you know. Don't take what's being told to you as being the God's honest truth unless you know the source. So, you know, do the responsible thing and check your own sources so you're not out there babbling. Keep an open heart. And I know that's hard these days. But if you got family out there, you got neighbors and stuff, hey, there's still hope for you. So keep looking up.
Amen. And once again, I love it. So check your email. Check your email. Check your email. Check your email. Hey, Joe and I will be back next 2 Eastern, 1 Central for more stuff that grumpy older men talk about here on the Truth Radio Network. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. Tell your friends about these crazy guys on the radio. Take care and God bless. We'll see you next week. This is the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.